This is the title of the message the Lord's got on my heart to share with you today. I believe God's going to use it, by the way. And by the way, I believe the Lord is going to call all of us to have someone today that we can pray with, a prayer partner. I like to refer to it as an armor bearer. Do you have somebody you can pray with today, right, in just a little while? I believe the Lord's calling us, arming us for battle. By the way, did you hear about this cat named Fluffy? Did you hear about, speaking of battle, did you hear about the cat that had normally stayed inside? We're going to talk about some prayer partners as well. The cat stayed inside named Fluffy, but this particular cat got caught in a snowstorm. And this cat named Fluffy, unbeknownst to the owners, got shut out of their house and a snowstorm hit up in Montana. Well, finally, Fluffy was found buried underneath a mountain of snow. By the time the parents, the guardians, the owners of Fluffy got to the cat, they had to dig the cat out, and you can see the condition of Fluffy, this cat. By the way, how many of you got a cat? Let me see your hand. Somebody took our church cat home, so we thank God for that. Amen. But anyway, Fluffy, let me tell you the story about Fluffy. So the owners discovered Fluffy underneath this mountain of snow, rushed Fluffy to the veterinarian. By the time Fluffy had gotten to the veterinarian, they could not even put an IV in the cat's veins because of the frozen condition. The temperature of the body had dropped to such degree that this situation was not good at all. However, they were able to get a hairdryer and some warm water and began to put some warm water and hairdryer to warm this Fluffy, the cat, up to its normal temperature. And lo and behold, you can see the wonder working of the veterinarians brought the cat back to life again. I ran across that article, and I thought, you know what? I know a lot of people that are feeling or maybe like the same condition, frozen. Maybe there's some Christians today, you feel like you need to thaw out a little bit. Maybe there's somebody, you today, that you're in a battle, and it might be another kind of battle. Regardless of what the battle is, I'm going to ask you today to think of someone you can get as a prayer partner. Do you have somebody right now that is a, what I like to refer to, an armor bearer? Here's where we're going in the message. Armed for battle. There are three steps we're going to see very clearly in the text today that I believe that you can take and I can take to win the war. Three steps to win your war. Whatever war you're in now. By the way, if you're not in a war, very likely you'll be going into a war before too long. And these are some steps we'll see in the Bible in regards to arm for battle. I want you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Here in the Old Testament, the Lord has spoken to my heart about this, and I believe you're going to be encouraged today. I hope I see some mamas and daddies coming together praying for their children. I hope I see some husbands and wives joining together saying, God, we need your blessings on our home. How many of y'all want the blessings of God on your home? Amen. How many want the blessings of God on your marriage? Absolutely. And therefore, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 14, I want you to turn there, please. I want to read a few verses of scripture and then elaborate or at least expound on this thought, armed for battle. In 1 Samuel, chapter 14, if you'd like to stand as we read the wonderful word of God, you can do so now. And I want to read, and I'm just going to read some selected passages here, beginning in verse number 1. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Now, I'll have some fill-in-the-blanks on the screen, so don't worry about that. We'll have that in just a moment. But 1 Samuel is an account of a king by the name of Saul. Now, Saul has a very dedicated friend, or really his son. His name is Jonathan. And Jonathan has... The young folks, y'all do the Facebook, and the older people do too, I think. I don't do Facebook, but they tell me that BFF, what does that stand for? Yeah, best friends forever. Well, Jonathan had a BFF. You know who his BFF was? It was David. David was his best buddy. And David was his best friend forever. But this is right before the introducing to David. And so, therefore, we read chapter 14. We're going to find out Jonathan had an armor bearer. Okay, chapter 14, verse 1. I begin reading. If you're there, say amen. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Let me pause there for a moment. A couple of thoughts. Number one, here's a young man. Bible scholars tell us he was probably a teenager or maybe at least a young adult, a little over a teenager perhaps at this time. Now we see a couple of things in verse 1. The word garrison is used 6 times in the text we're going to read. A garrison was a military fort or fortress, a stronghold. It was a post for a military army. What we're going to see in just a moment is the Philistines were the enemies of the Israelites. And so now we get the context. Jonathan was an Israelite, and now he's got an armor bearer. Now, keep reading with me, verse 2. And Saul tarried into the uttermost parts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. I want you to skip down, please, to verse number 4. In verse 4, notice what the writer said, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over into the Philistines' garrison, there's that word again, garrison. It means, again, a military post or a place, a fortress for, in this case, the Philistines. So, Jonathan said, let's go over to the Philistines' garrison. I'm reading from the middle of the verse, of verse number 4. And there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. Now, I'll bring a map up in a moment. Don't get all stressed out about where these geographical locations were, but I will show you in a moment. Look at verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor. He was an armor bearer. I'm telling you, we all need an armor bearer. Amen. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. He was referring, of course, to the Philistines. And it may be, said Jonathan, notice verse 6, the middle part of the verse, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. I like that. Well, that's good terminology. Verse 7. And his armor bearer said unto him, notice this is Jonathan's armor bearer. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all this in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I'm with thee according to thy heart. I like that. You need somebody that's going to be loyal. Needing somebody that's going to be dependable to be your armor bearer. You need somebody today that'll pray with you. Keep reading, verse number 8. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. Wait a minute, let me pause there. What Jonathan's saying is, if the Philistines say, y'all come on up here, we'll go up there. But if they say, y'all tarry, then we'll stay. Now keep reading. Verse number 11. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. In other words, Jonathan and his armor bearer showed, they revealed where they were at. Notice, and both of them discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered, that is the Philistines, they answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan, notice, verse 13. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet. In other words, he was on his hands and knees. He was climbing up on his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. Here's two men defeating 20 men. Wow. And notice, I began reading verse 14 again. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, wherein or within, as it were, a half an acre of land. Bible scholars tell us about 15 or 20 yards. A half an acre is where this battle took place. Hang with me. And he says, which a yoke of oxen might plow. This is the word of God. And God's going to bless us today as we consider this thought, armed for battle. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your presence, your power, your peace. Oh, blessed God. We worship you today, bless you today. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for bringing, Lord, so many today. And we just need you. And I pray that you'll open our hearts and open our eyes to see you and your glory, and our hearts to respond to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And then, Father God, we pray that you will have the glory and the praise. I thank you, Father God, what you're up to, touching our hearts, calling us to be armor bearers and prayer warriors. And Father, I pray for families today. I pray for daddies and mamas who are weary and tired. And dear God, those husbands and wives, you bring unity in the marriage, and the enemy will be driven back. And young people, teenagers and young people, Father, will, Lord, they'll sense you calling them to the battle. And you'll raise up some young people around them. And oh, Father, when all's said and done, we'll give you the praise for it and the glory for it. We worship you again. We thank you what you're up to. And we commit this time to you. I ask you for fresh oil, fresh cleansing in my heart. And Jesus, may you again be high lifted up. And we'll thank you for all that you do and all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message today. There are three steps that I believe the Lord put in my heart to share with you today. Three steps that you and I can take in order to win the battle. Here they are. Number one, who is your prayer partner or your armor bearer? I find that in verse 1 of the text. Number 2, why do you need an armor bearer? Why do you need a prayer partner? I find that in verses 4 through 6, really through verse 7. And then number 3, the third step that I believe will help us to win the war over worry, to win the war over depression, to win the war over, oh yes, jealousy, to win the war over resentment, to win the war over being critical and a judgmental spirit, to win the war over fear, to win the war over security or insecurity, should I say, to win the war over rejection. Hey, look, we're all in a battle, and I believe if you'll take these steps, I believe the Lord is going to raise up some armor bearers around you this very day, and we are going to experience some breakthroughs for the glory of the Lord. Oh, yes, we are. Number one, who is your armor bearer? Number two, why do we need an armor bearer? And then thirdly, we'll find, what does God want to do with you and your armor bearer, your prayer partner, today? I had the privilege of praying with somebody this early service. They came to the altar, and we joined together and believed God for great and mighty things. How many believe that God answers prayer? Amen. The Lord is answering prayer. And if you don't see it, probably because you're not asking the Lord to, for example, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For whosoever asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And is there anybody here today, tell me now, have you given up praying? Have you just gotten tired and weary? Have you just kind of thrown in the towel? Have you just gotten to the place where you say, well, bless God, I'm not getting a breakthrough now, and I'm just tired of praying? I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint. Men ought always to pray. Say that with me. Men ought always to pray. One more time. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And not to faint. Say that with me. And not to faint. One more time. Do you know what that means, not to faint? It means don't cave in. It means don't give up. It means don't quit. You can't quit now. You can't stop now. You don't need to throw in the towel now. There's more battles for you to fight. I believe God's calling every daddy and every mama, in the house of God today? How many got young people? How many got children that you love right now and you're going to pray for them today? God's calling us to be armor bearers. God's calling us to be prayer partners. God's calling us to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Now listen, I know some people are on the peripheral. They're on the sidelines. They're out in the grandstands. But may I suggest to you, it's time to get on the playing field. I said it's time to get in the battle. I said your children and our children and grandchildren desperately need somebody to get a hold of God, somebody to stand in the gap, somebody to pray in faith, somebody to watch God move some mountains out of their way. There's some of our families right now that the enemy is not happy. But I came to tell you today, the enemy is defeated, amen. And you don't have to be intimidated by the enemy. Number one, who is your prayer partner? Look at verse 1 again of the text. Look at chapter 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistine's garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Number one, who is your prayer partner? Now, I want you to look up here just for a moment, and I want you to be honest with me. Do you have somebody today, right now, that you can pray with? Right now. Today, right now. If you don't, I'm going to encourage you to find somebody before this day is over. In fact, before the message is over, I'm going to ask you to find somebody that's seated right here in this congregation this morning that you can agree with to pray together. How many believe there's power when you unite and agree together with somebody else? Jesus put it this way. He said, two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven, where two or three are gathered together. There I am in the midst of them. Will you agree with somebody? You say, bless God, Pastor, I don't have anybody I can agree with. I don't have anybody that's a prayer partner. Hey, look, come on, I'll pray with you. I might not be much, but bless the Lord, one plus God's a majority. Yes, and if God be for us, who can be against us? For God spared not his only son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not freely give us all things? I'm telling you, our God can do great things. Do you believe that God can still calm storms? Do you believe that God can still heal crippled bodies? Do you believe that God can still raise the dead? Do you believe that nothing's too hard for our God? If you don't believe that, then you got the wrong book you're looking at, and you're in the wrong place where you ought to be. Are you going to trust God? Are you going to believe God? Are you going to say, doubt? I'm going to do without. I'm going to do without. You doubt, you do without. You choose to lose, or you can make a choice to rejoice. Oh, yes. And so, who is your prayer partner? Who is somebody? You say, but bless God, I don't have one. You need to find one today. An armor bearer. Well, the question is asked, why do I need an armor bearer? Let me explain, geographically speaking, about the location of this particular event that took place. If you'll notice on the map, you probably can't see it way in the back, but I found the map to give us some geographical location as to where we're talking about of this particular setting. You'll notice right here is Jerusalem. And you'll notice north of Jerusalem is a place called Michmash. Say that with me, Michmash. That's the stronghold slash the garrison of the Philistines. Now it just so happens that a man by the name of Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, by the way, Saul was king of Israel. Really, Saul was the people's choice, but God chose David. David was God's choice. Nonetheless, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And so Saul's son, a mighty warrior indeed, name is Jonathan. Here's the location. It's right up here between Michmash and Geba, or Geba as some refer to it. And so this battle took place right in this particular area. Now, that might not mean anything to you, but if you understand the terrain and if you understand the mountains that surround this area, it might mean a little bit more to you. In fact, two men, namely Jonathan and his armor bearer, went up and attacked the garrison, the military fortress of the Philistines. This is another map that shows you about the location of where this battle took place. And if this doesn't mean anything to you, this will right here. Check out the landscape. Check out the mountains around this area. Now, the Philistines had perched way up here on this garrison on the top of these mountains, knowing that no one possible could climb and could penetrate their fortress up here in the mountains. And it was unthinkable. It was just insurmountable. It was impenetrable. I mean, they just said nobody's going to be able to get up to this place. And so now we have a setting of this particular account of Jonathan and his armor bearer. But may I stop there and suggest that you need an armor bearer. I need an armor bearer. I need a prayer partner. How many of y'all would agree that you need a prayer partner? You need somebody praying for you. I'm telling you, you're no friend of the world. You're not a friend of the devil, and I'm not a friend of the devil, and I've declared war on the devil. How many declared war on the devil? Amen. And if you hadn't, you better, because he's going to be after you anyway if you're a Christian. If you're not, you need to get that thing settled and get right with the Lord. But wait a minute. Number one, why do I need, number one, who is my armor bearer? Who can fight with me? You'll notice in this particular occasion, here is Jonathan and his armor bearer. They're making their way up this precipice. And they're noticing the Philistines are up above. Now, let me just give you some reasons why you need and why I need who needs an armor bearer. I'll tell you who needs an armor bearer. I saw her just this morning. A lady by the name of Diane Hibbs. Diane's just been diagnosed with breast cancer. Diane has already been through several chemotherapy treatments, yet she's got two more to go. And by the way, she still got surgery on top of that. Diane needs somebody to stand in the gap. Diane needs somebody to pray with her. Ann can testify. Ann Howard is right over here. Can I get a witness, Ann? You need a prayer partner, amen? You need an armor bearer when you're going through such a time as that. I'll tell you somebody else who needs an armor bearer. Becky Henderson was here this morning in the early service. Becky needs an armor bearer. Becky needs somebody, a prayer partner. Who will partner with her? Who will pray for her? Who will stand in the gap? Who will come along with her hands when they get weary in the battle and hold up her hands, though she's ready to give up? I'm preaching to some mamas today. You don't know if you can continue on. I'm preaching to some daddies today that you say, if I could only get out of debt and if my children will only show respect to me. I'm telling you, you've gotten weary, but it's amazing when God raises up somebody around you. It's something about it. It's a fresh breath from heaven when somebody will come alongside you and lift up your hands when they get heavy. Everybody needs an armor bearer. Everybody needs a prayer warrior, a prayer partner. I said earlier, and I want to say it again, if you don't have one, I'll pray with you today, right now, in just a moment. Who needs a prayer partner? Becky Henderson does. You know why? She's been diagnosed with cancer. On top of that, she's already had surgery, but she's looking at chemotherapy, and she's looking at a possibility of, no doubt, radiation. Again, the possibility of chemo, I'm not sure yet at this point. But guess what else? Her husband, whose name is Carlton, he has a brain tumor. I was with him in the hospital about just 4 or 5 years ago when the brain tumor was surgically removed from his head. I was there when the doctor came out and said, we think we got it all. Well, guess what? His brain tumor's growing back again. They're talking about the same lady now. Now her husband is looking to have this procedure done, whether it be invasive or just having it surgically removed. I don't know yet, but I'm telling you this. It's going to happen in a week or two. I would say that was a lot on her plate, wouldn't you? But wait a minute. That's not all. She just had a daughter to die. I preached her funeral back in October. Her daughter died because of cancer as well. Now, we're talking about somebody who's going through a lot. We're talking about somebody who's got a heavy load. Am I preaching to anybody today that you are stressed to the max? You've got some emotional needs. You don't know if you can carry on. You need a breakthrough today. There's trouble on every side. You don't have peace. You're worried about this and worried about that. Somebody pray with you. Somebody, dear God, raise up some prayer, a partner for you. I'm telling you, thank God there's victory in Jesus. There's always victory in Jesus. And no matter what you face, the heavy load, aren't you glad that we can take the burden to the Lord? Aren't you glad that we can cast our care upon the Lord? Aren't you glad that God can carry our load? That the Lord knows every hair on our head. He knows when one little sparrow falls to the earth. God's a great God. He's a mighty God. And I just want to recommend my God. There's no God like my God. No God like my God. He's not dead. I said, my God's not dead. If your God's dead, get rid of him and come to the God of the Bible. Amen. He's risen from the grave. He's coming again. He walks with me. He talks with me. He woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning. Amen. I had a wonderful time with the Lord early. Couldn't get back to sleep. I said, God, I'd rather spend time with you anyway. And so, Lord, thank you. Your grace is sufficient. Who needs a prayer partner? Who needs armor bearer? I'll tell you who does. Ronnie Mincy. I got a call on Tuesday this week. Ronnie was on his job down in downtown Atlanta. He does construction work. There was downtown Atlanta, and he stepped on a ladder. He got off a roof and stepped on a ladder, 8-foot ladder. The ladder went out from under him. He fell 8 feet and hit the ground. Thank God it didn't hit his head. Thank God it didn't break his back, but it messed up his knee terribly. His knee was dislocated. It was sticking out on the inside. Consequently, they rushed him to Grady Hospital. Have you been to Grady Hospital? You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about downtown Atlanta. I'm talking about I-75 and I-20 right downtown. I'm talking about a trauma center. If you've never been to Grady, don't go there. No, it's a good hospital, but you don't want to be there. I mean, they're bringing them in left and right. Well, I got downtown to Grady Hospital. I walked in the door, and they got a metal detector right here. The security guard said, sir, you're going to have to walk through this metal detector. I said, well, praise the Lord. I'll go through it, no problem. He said, by the way, who are you here to see? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. I just came to see one of our men. He had been in an accident. And about that time, a young man standing over there in the corner, a young black man who was holding his crutches, he said, his name was Chris, real nice man. He said, will you pray for me? I said, I'll be glad to pray for you, Chris. I said, what's your need? I just walked in, right there at the foyer. I just walked in the opening door. I said, man, I'll be glad to you. Come on, let's go out here and pray. And I looked at him, 31 years old. I said, Chris, what kind of need you got, my friend? He said, well, I've hurt my leg. And by the way, he was wearing a cross on his neck. And by the way, everybody wears a cross doesn't necessarily mean they're Christian. By the way, I'd rather have a little bit of cross bearing more than I would cross wearing. It's getting quiet on me. Hey, it's one thing to wear. You better back it up what you're wearing, amen. It's like the police officer that pulled over a lady in the car, and he said, ma'am, he came over the door. He said, ma'am, he said, let me see your license. She showed him the license. Let me see your registration. Showed it to him. She said, why did you pull me over? He said, I just thought you were driving a stolen car. She said, why do you think I was driving a stolen car? He said, because on your bumper sticker it says honk if you love Jesus, amen. And you weren't riding just right. So listen, bottom line is you better walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Amen. We got a lot of professing Christians and not possessing Christians. Hey, what the world needs to see is a living God living in me and you. It doesn't mean perfection, by the way, but it means grace, grace, grace. Thank God for his marvelous grace. Thank God for his wonderful forgiveness. Thank God for his precious blood. Thank God that God loves us in spite of ourselves. Praise the Lord. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's a great God, a mighty God, a sovereign God, an immutable God, a transcendent God. There's no God like my God. Amen. No God like my God. And so, Ronnie Mincy, I went on to the ER. And they told me what room he was in. I walked up to the bed where he was in. He was on cloud nine. I'm telling you, they gave him something stronger than morphine. They said this stuff is going to knock him in, what do you call it, Lulu Land or La La Land or whatever you want to call it. Ronnie was talking out of his head by the time I got there. But he saw me and he calmed down. Somebody say amen. Anyway, I'm not going to go there, but anyway, you'll have to ask him about it. But I love Brother Ronnie, and so I said to Brother Ronnie, how you doing? He said, man, I'm not doing good at all. I'm talking about, we had been there for a few hours, and they ran CT scans and, and CAT scans and so forth and so on his leg. Well, meanwhile, they're bringing one patient right after another. I mean, that place is just my downtown Atlanta. And they brought one young man in. He had been in a car wreck. They brought him in on a stretcher. They said the nurses were running everywhere. The doctors were running everywhere. They said he's got a broken femur, and he may have internal bleeding. And quick, get him in this room. And so they rushed us out of this particular room. Man, they were crowded, overrunning. And this young man was laying on a stretcher. He was conscious. I just stepped away, and they left him there. Now, he hadn't been in surgery. They just brought him in. And the Lord touched my heart and said, son, go pray for him. And I said, well, Lord, he might not want prayer. He said, yeah, he will. So I walked over to him. I said, young man, can I pray for you? He said, yes, I would appreciate it. And so I grabbed his hand and said, dear God, I pray for your comfort and peace. And this young man's not a Christian. Speak to him. Anyway, I'm talking about a prayer partner. I'm talking about an armor bearer. And about the time I finished praying with him, I stepped over like this, took a couple of steps back, and he started throwing up. Somebody say amen. It wasn't a pretty sight. But anyway, I'm talking about, hey, by the way, we need an armor bearer. We need a prayer partner indeed. Who needs a prayer partner? I need a prayer partner today, this afternoon, right after our services. You know what? The sun doesn't go down without the ministry of New Rocky Creek Baptist Church infiltrating and saturating our community, telling people of the good news. Do you realize at 1 o'clock today, 1 o'clock to 1:30, we have the privilege of being on the radio. WJGA 92.1 is recording. We pre-record this. And every Sunday, we've got the privilege of sharing the Word of God to Jackson area, to our area. It goes all the way down to Macon, all the way up to somewhere up there near Forest Park, and all the way over to Edenton. And I say, God, it's not about us, but it's about you. Isn't it wonderful to know that people can hear the good news? Amen and amen and amen. So I need prayer. I need a prayer partner. I need an armor bearer. And you do as well. Number one, who needs an armor bearer? Number two, wait a minute, hang with me. Why do we need a prayer partner? That's found in verses 4 through verse 6. You find out in the text that Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come on. And the armor bearer said, I'm with thee. Hey, how many know that if you've got a prayer partner, you need somebody you can trust? You need somebody that's not going to throw rocks at you. You need somebody that's not going to throw you under the bus. You need somebody that's going to love you. You need somebody that's going to pray with you when you're in a good mood. Pray when you're not in a good mood. Pray when you're up. Pray when you're down. It doesn't matter. You need somebody. But wait a minute. I'm not talking about perfection here. If you can just agree together, Jesus said in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 31, when they prayed together, the place was shaken. How many know? Listen, united we stand. Divided, that's for every home, that's for every marriage, that's for every daddy, that's for every mama. United we stand, divided we fall. Are you going to join together today? I know you got people on your heart, right? You got family on your heart, right? You got children on your heart, right? You got grandchildren on your heart, right? You got neighbors on your heart, right? You got people that you know that aren't ready to meet God, or people that you know that maybe not be walking with the Lord. And God is calling you and me to be an armor bearer. Oh, yes, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. So who needs an armor bearer? Why do we need an armor bearer? Why do we need a prayer warrior? Can I tell you what happened to me this week? I was here on Thursday, got here probably about 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and God just called me to a time of prayer. I slipped over in the old sanctuary where the altar was down there, and the Lord was just burdened my heart to pray. So I got down, and how many love spending time with God, amen? I know you're busy, but don't get too busy that you can't spend some time with the Lord. And today, in a moment, you're going to have some chance to get you an armor bearer, or to be an armor bearer, and to pray with somebody, a prayer partner. I got over there and began to pray, and God just got in that thing, and I was just having a wonderful time praying. Next thing you know, time just slips by. Time just goes. Time. By the way, do you have a time you can pray every day? It might be in the morning before you go to work. You say, but I pray going to work. That's fine. But I would encourage you to find somewhere you can pray, in a closet, in a bathroom, in your bedroom, in a utility room. Bless God, find somewhere you can get with God every day. I personally like to spend time in the morning first thing. Why? Because if I wait till the end of the day, I'm tired, and I like to spend time with the Lord at the end of the day too. You do whenever you want to whenever you can, just do it. Spend time. Stay plugged in. Stay plugged in to the power source. Thank God you can walk with the Lord all day long. Amen. Amen and amen. Do you have a time where you can pray? If you don't today, you need to redig those wells. You need to redig those wells. Say, God, I've been slipping a little bit. Set your alarm 10 minutes earlier in the morning. I guarantee you it'll be worth it. I need somebody to help me. It'll be worth it. God will bless you, and God's presence will be with you on all day long. And the Lord, I'll tell you what, if you don't see the face of God first thing in the morning, you're going to see the devil's face first thing in the morning. You might as well see God's face first thing in the morning. The devil's going to show up, you know he is, and try to discourage you. So why should we have a prayer partner? It was about 10 o'clock at night when I finally finished praying, about 10:30 or so, and I said, well, I'm going to head home. So I got out there, and the parking lot's over there. It's kind of dark over there. You know what I'm talking about? And anyway, I got out of the church, and I got over there where my car was. I was parked up there where the flagpole is, now where that blessing box is. And out of the corner of my eye, I noticed there was a car parked into the parking place. It was down on the end right over there near the cemetery. And evidently, there was some people that were out there at the cemetery. How many know that's kind of strange? 10 o'clock at night, wandering in the cemetery. Can I get an amen? Anyway, I'll let you go there, and I won't go there. But anyway, and so I kind of caught the corner of my eye. I was wondering who this was. It's dark out there. And I said, well, who is this? Sometimes people part from time to time. And anyway, I heard a voice that said, hello. And I turned around, and there was three young people, 125, 126, 127. I recognized one of the persons that was 25. And they came up to me and said, how you doing? I said, how you doing? This particular person I'd witnessed to several times. They'd been to the church here, and I talked with this young person when they was 18 years old, talked with them about their relationship with God, and shared with them how the Lord would forgive their sin and change their life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has the Lord changed your life? Has the Lord Jesus changed your life? He sure has mine. I know I'm not worthy, but I sure praise the Lord for his worthiness. Anyway, this young man, I said, where are you at right now in your spiritual life? He said, well, he said, I'm not there yet. He said, I'm just checking some things out. And I said, well, I'm praying for you. And it was the honest truth. I prayed for him early this morning, about 4 o'clock this morning, along with some other people. I'm not saying that to brag or boast, but he's on my heart. And anyway, I said, I'm praying for you. And then I looked at the young lady that was with him, and I said, what about you? What about your spiritual life? Where are you at? You know what she said? She looked at me and said, well, she said, I'm a heathen. No, she didn't say heathen. She said pagan. Excuse me. She said, I'm a pagan. How many know that don't sound good? I don't know if I'd go around telling somebody I'm a pagan. Anyway, it don't sound too good. But the point is this. And I said, really, you're a pagan? What does that mean? She said, well, I've been studying Wicca. How many know what I'm talking about? Wicca. Witchcraft. We're talking about the occult. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We're not talking about downtown New York. We're talking about downtown Jasper County. Hello? We better get real. There's a lot of people. There's Satan worshipers around us. There's a lot of cults that are around us. 13. I'm looking at Brian right now. He just moved into the area. 13 miles or 17 miles right up the road, a Muslim mosque. And you may be aware of it or not. You know about it, don't you? 135 acres they bought. They're building a mosque, a cemetery, and a school there. I went to one of the meetings up there in Newton County. I'm not worried about that. I had the privilege of going over to Turkey in Istanbul. You talk about something strange when you're walking on the streets, Brother Allen, when you're walking on the streets, and Brother Russell, and you're 2% Christian, 98% Muslim. Man, we're talking about in the midst of them right there. I'm not intimidated by the Muslim. Bless God. Muhammad died, and he didn't rise from the grave. Jesus died and rose from the grave. Amen. My God's not dead. And I began to tell them that. I said, hey, man, your God might be dead. By the way, this Wicca stuff you're talking about, this occult and all this stuff, I said, bottom line, when you die, where you going? I said, when you die, where you going? You know what she said? She said, and y'all don't laugh now. She said, I think I'm going to come back as another creature. I think I'm going to come back as an animal or some tree or something. I said, are you serious? I said, I've read that comic book too. Amen. I didn't really say that. I thought that. I said, I've seen that Walt Disney show too. No, I didn't really say that. I thought that. But you know what I've often said? If I ever did believe in reincarnation, I do not. But if I ever believed in reincarnation, you know what I want to come back as? A bullfrog. You know why? I could eat everything that bugged me. Anyway, this lady says she believes she's coming back as some reincarnation. I said, are you serious? And so we got to talking about it. And I said, what's going to happen after you die? She said this. And I looked at her, and I want to look at you. And I said, what if you're wrong? She took a step back, backpedaling. What if I'm wrong? I said, by the way, what about you, young man? There was a third man standing there. I said, what do you believe? Where are you at in your spiritual journey? He said, I've been to church sometimes. He said, but that book right over there, I had my Bible with me. Amen. That's a good sword. Amen. It's the only offensive weapon in Ephesians chapter 6. I said, where are you at in your spiritual journey? You know what he said? He said, a bunch of men just wrote that book. Do you hear me? A bunch of men just wrote that book. I wish you'd have been here 2 weeks ago. Why I believe? You know why I believe? You know why I believe? I'll tell you why I believe. I believe the Bible because, number one, because of the prophetic accuracy. Man, about 30 minutes later, they said, we got to go, amen. It's getting late. Hey, prophetic accuracy, number one. I begin to share with them verse after verse. Hey, can you show me another book that'll tell you something's going to happen 500 years down the road and precisely be fulfilled? Like Jeremiah 25:11. Like Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13, 400 years of bondage. Like Ezekiel chapter 26, the island of Tyre to be destroyed. Like Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, when Daniel saw 500 years down the road, even Messiah to be cut off, Daniel 9, 26. Oh, yes, like Isaiah said, a virgin will be born, a virgin will bring forth a child, Isaiah 7, 14, fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Yeah, the birthplace of our Lord, mentioned over there in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, 500 years later, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, exactly like Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, he'd ride on the back of a donkey, it was fulfilled in Luke chapter 19. And people say, oh, but yeah, all that stuff, but wait a minute, it was written after the event took place. Wrong. It was written before. You know how I know that? The Dead Sea Scrolls, hello. The greatest discovery in the 20th century verifies the gospel of not only Isaiah's scroll, but other manuscripts that are absolutely overwhelming. For example, the Gospel of John is verified in the manuscripts, 5,000. Anyway, I could go on about that. But the point is this. I looked at him and I said this. This is what you got to decide. Was Jesus Christ telling the truth, or was he telling a lie? That's what you got to decide, right? That's what it really boils down to. Either he was telling the truth or he's lying. What I mean? He said he was God. Now, either he was telling the truth or he was lying. Now, what was he doing? Was he telling the truth or was he lying? He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said grace and truth came through him. That's John 14, 6. That's John chapter 1. And verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. Now, wait a minute. He said he's God. Others said he was God. Peter said he was God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thomas said he was God, my God. And then, on top of that, John the Baptist said, my Lord and my God. I told this lady, I said, either he was God or he wasn't God. Now, what's the proof that he was God? He had power to raise the dead. I read over there where he raised the widow of Nain's son. I read over there in the Bible where he, not only that, but he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. It's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Check it out. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Check it out. It's in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Check it out, where he raised Lazarus from the dead. Furthermore, he cast out demons. I read about that gathering demoniac in Mark, chapter 5. He calmed the storm. Surely he did. In Mark, chapter 4, you know anybody else that can calm a storm? No hurricane. There's no man that can calm a hurricane or a storm like our Lord. But he said, hey, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. You know anybody else can predict they're going to die and rise again? I don't know anybody. And by the way, do you know anybody that can forgive sin? Jesus, he was who he said he was. Oh, yes, and he's got the credible proof. Anyway, I began to talk with him. I wish I could tell you that this particular lady said, well, I do believe, but how many know that deception and the lies of the enemy, people are buying into the lies of the enemy? And I said, I'm going to pray for them. Well, I could sense the Lord was working in the heart. I could sense the Lord was drawing them. And yet, I must confess, I left with a heavy heart. How many know when you tread on the devil's domain, the enemy is not happy? But I want to tell you something, whether you know it or not, you're going to tread on the enemy's territory. And if you're not treading on the enemy's territory, you know what he's doing? The enemy's rocking you to sleep. Yes, he will. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. And the devil would love to rock you to sleep. If you're not taking a stand for God and for the Word of God, and if you're not being a prayer warrior and an armor bearer, bottom line is you're being rocked to sleep by the devil. Now, how many want to be an armor bearer? Amen. How many want to be a prayer warrior? A prayer partner. Hey, look, we can declare war. And by the way, I've declared war on the enemy. Can anybody join me? Are you declared war on the enemy? Absolutely. You know, the enemy would love to kill, steal, and destroy. And Grant, just your buddy, just the other day, I talked with Grant a week ago, 2 weeks ago, it'll be on Monday. Your buddy almost went out of here. What was his name again? Yes, Alex. Alex was electrocuted down there in Jasper County working on a shop project. And man, it put his heart stop how many times? Two or three? Somebody told me. Three times they had to bring him back. How old is Alex? 18. His best buddy. And man, his life almost been snuffed out like that. They had to airlift him, took him over there. You went to Grady, didn't you? I just now remembered that. How's he doing, by the way? Back at school. Praise the Lord. I trusted the Lord, and I called Grant when I found out the news. I was traveling down to Florida, and I said, man, let's pray for Alex right now. I know Grant's been talking to him about Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. Glory. I mean, there's probably some parents shouting amen. Brother John, you ought to say hallelujah. My son's talking with somebody about Jesus. Man, he could be on there to downtown Atlanta peddling dope. Man, you need to be thankful. Can I get an amen? You need to be thankful, Brother Jimmy. But, buddy, we got a lot to be thankful for. Yes, we do. But anyway, where was I going with that? Hey, I'm talking about when I got home and I just felt the spiritual warfare. How many know we're in spiritual warfare? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Hey, I'm trying to land this plane. I'm going to land it. Y'all hang with me. Number one, who is your prayer partner? Two, why do we need a prayer partner? Three, what will you and your prayer partner, armor bearer, see God do? I like this. I'll be brief. I want to share with you two things. Number one, do you notice what the armor bearer said and Jonathan said? Jonathan said, we believe God's going to fight this battle for us. Aren't you glad we're not fighting for victory? Thank God we're fighting from victory. Somebody ought to jump up and shout. Somebody ought to say, praise God. I'm telling you, say, preacher, you get all excited. I do, because my Lord's risen, thank God, and he's the victor. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live insecure. We can say, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able. My Lord has risen. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Thank God, if your God's dead, get rid of him and come to the God of the Bible. We let him out of the box. You got him in your box, don't you? No. Get your God out of your box. He's way too big for you to put him in your little computer. Let him have his way. We try to say, all right, God, you got to, I'm being facetious here, but I'm telling you the truth. A lot of people won't put God in a box. Wait a minute. So, what will you and your prayer partner today, armor bearer? How many need an armor bearer? How many need an armor bearer? I do, man. I need an armor bearer. Can I share a quick testimony with y'all, and two, and I'll be done. Number one, I talked with a young lady here not long ago, and this young lady told me, and I'm just sharing with you, y'all listen to me, y'all look up here, don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. If you are taking medicine and all, you do what the doctor tells you to do. I talked with a young lady that told me, this is not long ago, she started coming to church here, to God be the glory, and she was taking antidepressant medicines, okay? Now, some people, you know, that's a different story, but I'm just telling what this lady told me. She said, Pastor, and this was just a little while ago. This was just a few weeks ago. She said, I've been taking them things for a long time, for years. I don't know how many years, but anyway, said, I've been taking them things for years. But says, I just believe I need to start trusting God. I don't have to depend on all that antidepressant medicine. I tell you what, America's full of opioids. Hello. We're talking about good people. But I'm not saying you don't need that at times. You might need when you're in pain and that sort of thing. But how many know that that stuff will put you in a zombie land and it dulls your spirit? And if you don't need it, bless God, don't take it. But if you need it, take it. But anyway, I can get a witness right here. I'm not telling you something that I can't get a witness right here. This person told me this. Said, well, I said, how's it been going? Said, it's been kind of scary because you depend on that medicine, you know, to get you through. And you start feeling these panic attacks, these anxiety fits. I'm not making light of that. I'm telling you this, it's real, but I'm telling you, God's bigger than all that stuff. Somebody say amen. And we can trust God, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And when we feel like we're losing control, it might be that we need to lose control, that we let God take control. I need to say that again. Sometimes we try to control everything. And that's the problem, is we things get out of our control and we don't need to try to control things we can't control. Today you might need to say, God, I've been trying to control everybody and everything, and I just need to put it in your hands. That's where peace comes. This person said, God's just helping. And I'm not saying they're out of the woods completely. I'm saying they're trusting Jesus one step at a time, one step at a time. This person needs a prayer warrior. This person needs a prayer partner. This person needs an armor bearer. And then I said, well, how's it going? This person said, well, I've been starting to pray. And I asked God about one specific prayer, and God answered the prayer. Somebody ought to shout. Oh, yes. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition we desired of him. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. You see, call unto me. You want to know God's telephone number? It's not ever busy, man, when you call it. I'm glad he don't say, press 1 if you want to talk to Michael. And press 2 if you want to talk to Mary. Press 3 if you want to talk to Gabriel. I don't want to talk to Mary. I don't want to talk to Gabriel. I don't want to talk to Michael. I want to talk to the one who died for me, Jesus. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, straight to the throne of grace. But anyway, God answers prayer. You going to believe God today? You're going to say, doubt, get out. Or you're going to say, God, I'm not going to listen to the devil. Are you going to believe God today? In a moment, we're going to ask you to find a prayer partner, an armor bearer this week. This week, on Tuesday, God burdened my heart. God burdened my heart to begin to pray about something. And I'm not just saying this. I'm not just saying this for any other reason. But God burdened my heart, and I just praise the Lord. God doesn't work on my timetable, and he doesn't work on your timetable, but he works. Yes, he does. Somebody said, when we pray, if the prayer request is wrong, then God says no. But if the prayer request is right and the timing is right, if the timing is wrong, God says slow. And if we're wrong, God says grow. But if the prayer request is right, the timing is right, and we're right, God says go. And all those things have to line up. You hear me? All those things got to line up. All those things. Yes. And so this week I began to put some things in the Lord's hands. This is on Monday night. Monday night I said, dear God, I'm looking for a breakthrough. I'm asking you for open doors. Is there anybody here that needs an open door? I said, is there anybody here that needs an open door? Is there anybody here that says, God, I want the much more? Is there anybody here that says, oh, yes, oh, yes. The Lord said, oh, yes, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Where's Daniel? Daniel, if you have faith as what, buddy? A mustard seed. You shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast it. Anyway, I begin to pray on Monday. Guess what happened? Tuesday. And this don't happen all the time. I just want to give God glory. It just blessed my heart to no end. Tuesday, 2 calls back to back. God was confirming what I prayed on Monday. Has that ever happened to you? It's real. My Redeemer lives. Amen. I wonder today, prayer partner, stand to your feet, would you? How about it? You need an armor bearer? You need somebody that says, bless God, I've got a need today, brother pastor. I'm in a battle. I need somebody to pray with me. I need somebody to stand in the gap. I need somebody to hold my hands. I believe and I'm hoping and praying mamas and daddies will get together today and intercede for your children. They need it desperately. Man, they're out in this whole world, and oh, husbands and wives, we're not each other's enemy. No, the devil's our enemy. The demons are our enemy. We need to come together. We need to pray together. And we need to believe God together.